All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Final show of the off-season edition today, ladies and gentlemen, and it feels really good after what's been a long several months to flip that page on the calendar. And I know July itself isn't flipping over, but the mental calendar going from off-season to season, it'll be 1 week from today. I'm recording this on Friday morning. 1 week from today, one Buccaneer place over there in West Tampa. You got the Bucs opening up practice. And in fact, the rookies will be getting there on Sunday. The veterans will be reporting on Thursday. Of course, practice beginning on Friday. And my, oh my, it's just nice. We did it, folks. I'm going to go ahead and say it now, even though next week is really our first show of the unofficial season. But thank you for joining us today here on the Free Stretch. It's brought to you, as always, by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. They are Tampa's first family of Ford. If you're looking for a vehicle, and I know a lot of you always are, this is a great place to start and finish. If you go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, it's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can see all the inventory, new, pre-owned, all that stuff. It's all there on the website, and all of it, no matter what you end up buying, comes with the nationwide lifetime warranty on any vehicle you get there, unlimited years, unlimited miles, 10 years of roadside assistance, and for the first year after you buy the car, you get free service when you bring it in to Bill Curry Ford. They'll take care of your oil changes and all that stuff right there. If you want to go on site, of course, where it's always been for nearly 60 years now, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. It's just north of Hillsboro, that overpass there on the east side of the road. So check them out. Go see Sean Sullivan. Mention me. Mention the Free Stretch. Mention Joe Bucks Fan. And you will get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing. And again, you can see all that at the website, BillCurryFord.com, thanks to our friends over there. And as we get ready for the season here, you know, like I said, we got 7 days, and it's actually, if you want to talk about just strictly football games, and we'll get into a whole thing with the preseason games when those start, but the first actual Buccaneer football game of the season with, like, uniforms and the field painted and another opposing team instead of just the Bucs themselves practicing amongst each other, that is 3 weeks from tonight in Pittsburgh. On August 9th, they'll take on the Steelers. So even that's not far away for those of you that consider that the unofficial beginning. And yet, they'll be there at camp on Friday. People can go see the practices and all those things. They've got the covered grandstand there again, as they had a couple years ago. Then last year, they took it away. It's going to be back this year. I'm looking forward to taking my son out there. I may even go on Friday for the first day, but if not, I'll definitely be going to a handful of practices here and there. And I'll let you guys know, for those of you that listen and are going to be there and, you know, maybe have a chance to meet up with some people, I'll let you know. I'll post it on Twitter or something if I'm going to be going out there. And you can catch me on Twitter at Bobby Game Day. The email address is BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. And so here we are. And I got a few things I want to get to on the show today, you know, looking ahead to training camp and all the things like that. I got an email, or actually it was a tweet from Chris in St. Petersburg, and he said, Bobby, any love for preseason prognostications? Any love for predictions? There was an SI prediction written by Connor Orr, and he went ahead, and some of these people, it's almost like mock drafts, only it's with the actual games. They'll go, like, through all 256 NFL regular season games. And there are 256 of them. And they will go win-loss. And they'll predict every team's record. So he did that. I'm not big on you'll notice if you've listened to me in the past, I never give out win totals. I never say, I think the Bucs are going to go 8-8 this year, or 10-6, or 6-10. I never do that. Even in a broad sense, I don't do it. I certainly would never go game by game through a schedule and do it. I think that's just foolish, because you have no idea how the season's going to unfold, even as it's unfolding, let alone predicting things now for like week 15. But some people do. And again, hey, when you're starved, when you've got nothing else, when you're just looking for Bucks news and you've been the Joe Bucks fan, Joe Bucks fan always has, just every day, no matter what time of year, just tons of stuff going up. There's new articles going up. It feels like every 5 minutes. So that takes care of things. But if you're looking for, like, I want some numbers, what's the Bucs record going to be? I want someone to tell me what the Bucs record's going to be. Fine, you can do that, although you probably won't be happy with what most people think about the Bucs. In this particular one, the Buccaneers are posted as going 3-13 and obviously finishing last in the NFC South. So he wrote a little blurb about every team. He didn't just post the numbers. And for the Bucs, he says this, quote, I'm reading now. This is where the weight of the schedule gets kind of ugly. He says, I don't necessarily think the Buccaneers will lose 13 or 14 games, mostly because Bruce Arians is a top 10 NFL head coach and may have the deepest coaching staff in football. NFL.com's analytics guru Cynthia Freeland has them at 6 wins, and that feels a little closer to what will end up happening. However, if you're in my position, grading a team that finished the offseason with a net loss in terms of talent gained versus talent lost, what are you going to do? And I'll tell you what, I have no problem with that. I don't think the Bucs are going to go 3-13, but this is what people see, and I've been saying it over and over, when they look at the Bucs, especially people who don't necessarily cover the Bucs on a daily or weekly basis like Joe Bucs fan does, like we do, you know, they're just going to look at the team, they're going to look at the roster, and what do you do with any team when you're trying to evaluate them? First thing you look at is the quarterback. Now, I'm a Jameis Winston guy. I still think he's going to have a really good year. I think he's going to have a good career. I'm still in that camp. But he's obviously a question mark. There's no doubting that. So quarterback, question mark. Okay, what kind of support does he have? He's got some decent skill players, but he's lost Adam Humphries. He's lost DeSean Jackson. You know, we did pick up, nobody. No, we picked up a couple people on offense, but we didn't get anybody at the running back position. That's going to change anyone's mind. We have the same two running backs as of right now. And although we think they'll be better, a national media member looks at them. Well, maybe you don't think they'll be better, but even though a lot of us locally think they'll be better, a national media member looks and says, oh, they got Peyton Barber back, Ronald Jones back. They didn't do anything last year. Okay, so they suck. And that's what they're going to do, and they're going to move on. They're going to look at the receiving core. Okay, well, they got Mike Evans, but no DeSean Jackson, no Adam Humphries. Okay, well, Chris Godwin. We think Chris Godwin, you know, us here in Buckland, oh, well, Chris Godwin's going to step up and be a stud number two. This is his breakout year. We think that. Somebody nationally is going to go, okay, well, Chris Godwin, okay, they lost two guys. That's what he's going to look at. Things like that. Offensive line, okay, their offensive line was a big problem last year. Who'd they pick up? They're same guys. Again, that's what people are going to see nationally. They're going to see bad team last year, same names or less this year, bad, right? That's what they're going to think right off the bat. Same with the defense. Hey, pass rush couldn't get anything going. Who'd they pick up? Well, they traded out McCoy for Sue, basically. Okay, that is something. JPP's out till at least October, probably more than that. And overall, like it says there, a net loss in terms of talent gain versus talent lost. And they're going to say, okay, well, what were they, 5-11, 6-10, whatever they were last year? All right, how about 3-13, 4-12 this year? And that's what it looks like on paper, okay? And so I'm not saying that's what's going to happen either. I'm not giving up. I will say this, though, and it's kind of a weird spot with a first-year head coach, but, you know, a lot of times when you have a new head coach, it's because you were bad for several years leading up to that. That's why your old coach got fired. Sometimes guys retire or take other jobs on their own. But most of the time, the deal is you have a new coach. You're probably not great. And so does a turnaround happen that fast? Well, it has. I mean, you saw the Bears do it last year. And certainly, you know, those types of things can happen. It takes kind of a leap forward at the quarterback position, which I think they got a little bit of with Trubisky last year in Chicago. And even though Jameis isn't a rookie entering his second year, I feel like that kind of a leap is possible with Winston. But again, you know, these are all things that we in Buckland think, or at least hope. But there's not a reason, that there's not a concrete reason that a neutral observer of football would look at the Bucs last year and then look at them again now and think, oh yeah, they're going to be a lot better. I mean, Bruce Arians is the obvious, like that's one major change. And I think he's going to do a really good job here. And that's another thing, him entering his first year, like no matter what happens this year as far as the Bucs go, it's not going to be the type of year I shudder to think it could ever possibly be, but it's not going to be the type of year where we're like clamoring for someone to get fired or something like that. It's first year of a new staff. We might be clamoring for the quarterback to get fired, and I hope that really doesn't happen, but I could see that being the thing if this thing goes south a lot more quickly than we hope. And as far as Jameis Winston goes, I mean, this is a huge year for him and the Bucs because picking up the option for sizable money is one thing. And the overall money on that year that he's making this year isn't even that bad compared to most quarterbacks around the league. But they're going to have to make a serious commitment after this year if they decide it's worth it. And I really, truly hope. Like, if you ask me, you know, hey, Bobby, what are your hopes? Tell me about some things, some circumstances, some conditions that if you had a crystal ball and you could look ahead to, like, week 14, what would you hope? Besides the obvious, like, oh, I hope the Bucs are, you know, 9-3 and all that. The wins and losses, we obviously all hope they have tons of wins. But I really hope, when I'm looking ahead to this coming season and later in the season, that by that time, by Thanksgiving or by Christmas, it's a no-brainer. Oh, yeah, wait, hey, what number is Winston going to command from the Bucs now after the season he's been having? Look at the way he and Bruce Arians have worked together, and Byron Leftwich and Clyde Christensen. What is this marriage? What's it going to take to keep this marriage going? It's obviously a good match. What do we have to do to keep you in a Buccaneer uniform today? Like, I hope that's the big talk of November and December, aside from the actual, you know, place where the Bucs are in the standings. I hope we're talking about that. Like, oh, man, you know, what are the Bucs going to re-sign Winston at? It's going to be a second contract for a Buccaneer quarterback for the first time in franchise history, which is still mind-boggling to me. Those are the things. That's certainly the number one thing I would say I hope for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That and news coming down that they're going to be changing their uniforms in 2020 and fixing them back to what they used to be. That would be the two things I would probably say are the most important things to me as a Bucs fan that I hope we're talking about later in the season. Again, aside from what's going on in the standings. But if you want to look at the article, I mean, you can, and there's probably been others like this. I really don't read a lot of win prediction articles, but this is kind of one of the main ones, the whole Monday morning quarterback thing that SI does and all that. If you're curious about any other numbers, I mean, as far as the division goes, they've got the Falcons at 11-5 and the Saints at 10-6. You know, with Drew Brees, it's kind of the same as Tom Brady, where those guys are getting older and older, and they're still at such a high level, and you keep wondering, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? And it never is it. So, it, you know, whatever it is or ends up being with those two guys, it's getting late in their careers, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of drama, not drama, but a lot of curiosity around that, like waiting to see if you see any signs of letting up or anything like that. Every year, and I can say I've already thought the Patriots were kind of no longer going to be themselves anymore, probably two or three times in the past 7-8 years, and every time they end up proving me wrong. But, you know, we'll have to see. But there's some other things if you look around as far as these numbers go that you can check out if you're into that sort of thing. So one thing it's based on, which is interesting, is it's based on a 16-game schedule, right? Because that's what the NFL plays. Right as I recorded my show last week and sent it to the Joes so they could post it on the website, and this happens a lot. It's kind of annoying. I guess I should record earlier. But, like, there's always, like, something will break. Like, right after I'm done recording, I already did the show, something I definitely would have talked about on the show that week, and instead I have to wait a whole other week to talk about it. So, got some news. And, again, it was not necessarily news because it's something we already knew, but heard some more talk that the NFL owners, you know, they're looking for the new collective bargaining agreement to be settled up here hopefully soon to avoid a work stoppage or anything like that. And, oh, hey, they're not stopping this 18-game thing. They're still beating that drum. It's not going away. The word inevitable comes up. And it's kind of funny, like, the whole idea of a self-fulfilling prophecy, especially when people who are in control and who kind of make the rules are the ones saying, oh, yeah, it's inevitable. They're trying, what they're doing is they're trying to take it out of their hands and make it sound like it was something that was going to happen no matter what, when in reality, it's totally up to them. It's the same thing you might have seen this past week. Ads on the uniforms in Major League Baseball, which if you know me, you know I am vehemently opposed to. And you hear all this chatter about it. You heard all this chatter about it a few years ago when the NBA was thinking about doing it. And that word kept coming up. Oh, well, you know, ads on the uniforms are just inevitable. It's going to happen eventually. And the truth is, nothing is inevitable. The people in charge are very free to not or to do or not do anything they want to. But Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, kept saying that word, oh, you know, it's inevitable, as if it was this, like, oncoming tide that couldn't be stopped, that nobody had any control over. And it's like me telling my wife, oh, you know, I really want to get out there and mow the yard, honey. It's just me going and spending my time working out, then having a protein shake and plopping down on the couch for 3 hours and watching the Open Championship this weekend. Instead, it's just kind of inevitable, you know? I mean, I want to do the yard. I really do. But it's just inevitable. I'm going to blow that off, do whatever the hell I want, and watch golf all morning and all afternoon this weekend. It's just I'm sorry, you know, I don't like it any more than you do, but it's inevitable. Like, that's what they're trying to tell you. Like, they're trying to piss down your leg and tell you it's raining. You know, so it's same thing with ads on the uniform, same thing with this. 18 games is not inevitable. Like this, oh, whoa, it's just been talked about for so long, eventually it has to happen. It's inevitable only because the owners have every intention of doing it and they're not backing down. And you know what? That's their prerogative. That's fine. If they just said that, I might actually, and I don't like the idea of an 18-game schedule at all, but if they just said that, I'd probably be a little bit more receptive to at least their honesty. But I hate when people in positions of power force something on others and try to take responsibility and distance themselves from it by acting like it was going to happen no matter what, and it's not their fault, okay? And that's what this is. It's going to be a fight. The Players Association obviously wants to keep it at 16. They could probably be moved by money where, hey, we're going to make more money. You're going to get more money too. And then, of course, the player safety issue is what everybody talks about. So let me start right here with my position on 18 games. The NFL at 16 games has it exactly right. In fact, the NFL is the rare breed of professional sport that doesn't have a season that's either too short or too long. All the pro sports are basically too long. Baseball, and we've talked about this before on the show, but if you were starting from scratch and you were like starting a pro baseball league, and you didn't have any idea of the history of what has been done in the past, and you're just saying, okay, we got to sit down and make a schedule here. We got 30 teams. What do you think? What would you say, like 100 games maybe? Probably be about what you come up with, maybe 124 or something like that, you know. Something where it's enough where there's nothing fluky, but 162 is just outrageous. Like, it's crazy. It's insane they play that many games. And yet we just accept that because it's been that way since before almost any of us were born. Oh, yeah, 162 games. It's crazy. Like, it's just so ridiculously long. And again, 100 and, you know, some odd games, like right around 100 or so. You know, I think probably 80 is too few for baseball. But 100, 110, 120, whatever it is in there, you could do the math, you know, figure out, okay, we're going to play each team home and away. Whatever it comes to, if it was like 124 games, fine, okay? But you'd never do 162. That'd be crazy. You'd look at that and you'd laugh. But that's what they do. Hockey and the NBA both play 82. Again, absolutely unnecessary. Not quite as bad as the Major League Baseball schedule. But I think with those, you could play 72 or even 64. If you were sitting down from scratch, and again, you didn't know anything about how past seasons had been handled, those are probably the numbers you'd come up with. But anything over that, I mean, 80 games, 82 games is just absurdly long. And especially with hockey and how many off days they have, and they need them. I'm not saying they don't need them, but I mean, you know, the hockey season lasts 6 months. And so the baseball, 6 months. Forget about how many games. Just think of the time on the calendar. Like, an NFL season takes 3 months, basically. Or 4 months. It takes 4 months. September, October, November, December. And that's great. That's one third of the, it's perfect. Like, that's what keeps you hungry. And I always try and tell people this. Like, when something is a really, really, really good thing, and I think we can all agree if you're listening to this show, football, I mean, the NFL specifically, but football in general is a really good thing, okay? We all, like, agree with that. So when something's a really good thing, it doesn't automatically mean if you just have more of the good thing, then it stays as good, and you just have more of it. Because that would be easy, right? I mean, hey, this thing is good. Same reason you don't go to your favorite restaurant every day, or even eat your favorite food every day, or do anything that you like to do all the time. I mean, you know, everything needs like to be kind of a thing that you look forward to, and maybe there's some specialness around it. So you try and add 2 games. No, oh, what's the, hey, why not 18? America's certainly hungry for it. Yeah, America loves football because they have a little bit of scarcity around football. I love baseball. In fact, if you take the game of baseball and the game of football, I mean, I love both of them. I really do. But football is so much more than me just liking the sport. Whereas baseball, I just like the sport. I just like baseball. But football's a whole state of mind, right? Like, it's a time of year. It's an attitude. It's like, it's an existence. It's a state of being. It's a lifestyle. You know, like, I will feel markedly different this exact time 1 week from now. As a human being, I will feel different than I feel right now. And I'll feel that way for the next 4 months, okay? I love it. I mean, I love the fall. I love the way everything works out with the football schedule. It's one of the things, even when I was a kid, and I was never one of those kids that hated school, but it was one of those things that kind of softened the blow of, oh, back to school. I was okay with it because school time meant it was football time. Like, it was, September was great. August is great. October, I mean, that's the best time of year. It really, truly is. And I love the summer. I love going to the beach. You know, there's things about every time of year that I like. I try to be positive and always find reasons to be happy. But I don't have to do that during football season. It's just so easy. I love it. I mean, I truly love it. And if they go to 18 games, that won't change, but it'll be a little, you know, just a little bit more actually means a little bit less. A little bit less zip to it, a little bit less special. You know, I always talk about how we get those 16, no matter how good or bad the Bucks are, and all too often lately it's been bad, but no matter how good or bad the Bucks are, we get those 16 3-hour blocks per year. Those 16 Sundays a year, sometimes a Thursday or a Monday, but and that's all we get. For all this stuff we do year-round, I do this show year-round. You go to joebucksfan.com and read it. The Joes write 75 articles a week, it feels like. And it's all centered around those 16 3-hour blocks. Like, that's what all of this is for. That's why we do all of this stuff. All right? It's precious, you know? And college football, which is my favorite sport, even more so. You know, people want to expand everything. And I think college football at 12 regular season games is good. I think the playoff at 4 teams is good. I know they want to go to 8. That won't be the end of the world. But again, you keep expanding. You know, I like it in college football when your favorite team, and maybe this is a product of growing up in the 90s, because I grew up, even though I ended up going to the University of Florida, I grew up an FSU fan. But either way, FSU, Florida, Miami, all the same in the 90s. Like, they would lose one or maybe two games a year. And that was it. And yet, like, every year trying to win a national championship, like, that was what it came down to. And it felt like the fate of the world was riding on those Florida State, Florida games in the 90s, or those Florida State, Miami games in the 90s. I remember as a little kid, I would cry. Like, I cried. Wide right, FSU versus Miami, 1991. I was 11, and they missed the kick, and Miami went on to win the national championship, and I cried. Because it felt like somebody died when those games happened. And like that one game a year when the Seminoles lost or when the Gators lost. You know, now, oh, you want to put 8 teams in the playoffs? Okay, we lost a couple, whatever. You know, it doesn't have that same urgency. I like that feeling of your life flashing before your eyes when you get down, like, just getting down 24-21 in the third quarter. You're like, uh-oh, is it? Our season is now on the line right now. This morning I woke up, we just had a football game, going to be no problem. Gators are going to win easily, Seminoles are going to win easily, whatever you're a fan of. And now all of a sudden, 2 hours later, oh my God, our season is about to end right here and now. And I didn't even realize it 2 hours ago. I was just acting like it was a normal day. I love that. Like, don't you love that urgency? And the NFL doesn't quite have that because of 16 games, but that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying I want the NFL to be like college. But man, you just keep adding stuff and adding stuff. And same thing with expand the playoffs. They're going to want to add 18 games. They're going to add a couple of playoff teams. I've heard them talk about that too. And just, you know, I don't know. I mean, at least with baseball, as long as the season is, it's still really hard to get in the playoffs. But hockey and the NBA play forever. And then everybody still gets in the playoffs anyway. And it makes you feel like a dupe, basically. Like, oh, I'm just sitting here getting all excited about this regular season. Look at the Lightning last year. I mean, I don't think I'll ever be able to get excited about a regular season win again. This is what the Lightning last year really, this is the true evil of what the Lightning did last year. I'll never care again. Hey, the Lightning have won 7 in a row. All right, they're on pace to set a points record. Give a crap. Get in as the 8th seed and you still win the cup. None of that crap matters. And you keep adding games and then the NFL regular season starts to feel more like that. It will never feel completely like that. So I am just on a cellular level opposed to 18 games, okay? And I think they've got it just right, both with the number of games and with the playoff number of teams. Everything's, I wouldn't touch anything in the NFL. But again, you know how rich people are. There's this obsession with growth, and if you're not growing, you're dying, no matter how well you're doing. Like, I'm one of those people, if you're doing really well, okay, let's just keep doing really well. Like, everything's cool, right? But a lot of people's minds don't work that way. Well, how did we grow this year? What did we do to, you know, I don't think you need to do anything. I think you've got it just right. TV, right? This was posted the other day. Get this. And we already know all this, but it still just boggles my mind. So, first we'll talk about just sports telecasts. So far, the 50 most watched sporting telecasts of 2019 in the United States, okay? So we haven't even started the NFL season yet, although the NFL playoffs from last season count for this year because, again, this is done by the calendar year. So the 50 most watched sports telecasts of 2019, okay? I will give you a guess, and I'll pause a moment. I want you to guess how far down the list you have to go to get to the first non-NFL spot in the rankings. And again, this is before the NFL season has even started. We've only had the playoffs from last year. How far down the list do you get before you get to the most watched non-NFL sporting event of 2019 so far? I'll wait a second. Okay, the answer is, I'll just read. I'll have a little suspense here. The number one most watched sporting event of 2019 so far, we're only in July, okay? You don't need me to tell you it's the Super Bowl, Patriots-Rams. That had 98 million viewers, and then I think it peaked out, or 98 million average viewers peaked out at 100 million viewers. The number two telecast, AFC Championship, Patriots-Chiefs. The number three sports telecast of 2019, NFC Championship, Rams-Saints. Four, NFC Divisional, Eagles-Saints. Five, NFC Wildcard, Eagles-Bears. That was the double upright missed kick game. Six, NFC Divisional, Cowboys-Rams. NFC seems to be doing well in these ratings. Seven, NFC Wildcard, Seahawks, Cowboys. Eight, Chargers, Patriots, Divisional Round. Nine, Colts, Chiefs, Divisional Round. 10, AFC Wildcard, Chargers, Ravens. At number 11, you get to the first non-NFL sporting event on the most watched sporting events list of 2019. And of course, it's the College Football National Championship between Clemson and Alabama. So still football. Number 12 is Colts, Texans, Wildcard. And finally, at number 13, you start getting into other sports. The Virginia Tech College Basketball Championship is 13, then some NBA and stuff, and you get some more college football. The Kentucky Derby's on there. But the top 12 are all football, and the top 10 are all NFL of the most watched sporting events of 2019. Now, you might be saying, okay, well, that's just sporting events. Let's change that list to all TV shows, not just sporting events. Okay, are you ready? I'll read it again. The same thing I just said. Yeah. Actually, the highest rated non-sporting event of 2019 is the Academy Awards earlier this year, and that would actually place seventh on the list. And then you have to go back down to number 13 to get to the Grammys. Everything else that I just read remains the same, whether you count just sporting events or whether you count all television shows. So don't tell me anything about, you know, the NFL needs to do this, that, or anything differently. The TV ratings, and that's the other thing. Don't tell me about attendance at anybody's game. I don't care about anybody's attendance. I'm tired of hearing about that. The NFL is king. Football is king. We are football America. All this stuff with concussions, and it's legitimate, and the game has taken a few hits. No pun intended. You know, has that changed anything overall? Absolutely not. You can see it in these numbers, okay? Is football going anywhere? People say, oh, football's dying, man. You better be careful because kids aren't going to play football anymore. And in 20 years, there won't be any football. I'm almost 40, and I'm about to pay $300. Not get paid. I'm about to pay $300 to get to go play football against people half my age just for fun, just for kicks. All right? So people are playing. That's just me. I know I'm anecdotal. I know numbers are down nationally as far as high school football participation. But they're still, by far, football is the most participated in sport amongst kids. Part of that reason is the teams are bigger. But part of that reason is because a lot of kids still want to play football. If my kid wants to, he absolutely will. When he's older, I wouldn't have an 8-year-old running around in pads and banging his head. But yeah, don't worry about football. Football's not going anywhere, okay? And people, as you can see, as you could hear by what I just read to you, are as hungry for football as ever. So the owners see that. They say, oh, well, they're hungry. Let's give them more, you know. Be careful, is all I'm saying. Be careful. Because, again, I don't think it's going to kill the league or anything to add two games, and it's not going to, like, be the end of anything, but it'll just take away a little bit of the specialness, just a little bit. And I said, I'm a college football. I mean, I told you this. College football was just 12 games. And their season really is 3 months. It's not 4 months. The bowl season counts for the fourth month. But the actual regular season is just September, October, November. And that's it. And it's the three sweetest months of the year. But, like, I know what will happen. It happens every year. We'll have the first few weeks of college football. I'll be like, oh, man, isn't this great? Like, I can't believe it. I'm so excited. And then by, like, close to, like, Halloween, I'll be like, oh, my God. Like, we've got, like, 4 weeks left and it's done. It's just so fleeting, but that's one of the reasons I love it. So this whole – and the idea they proposed, you probably heard, to address the player safety issue of this. Oh, how about if we have 18 games, but we expand the roster so players will be happy about that, and we still make each player's personal limit 16 games. So there's just 2 games a year every player has to sit, and you can choose when you want to do it. But then you have 16 games for every player while still having 18 games. Yay! We did it. We figured out a way to have more games without taking any chances on safety. And so what did that get everybody? Everybody goes on Twitter. The whole reaction last week was, oh, this is a terrible idea. I can't believe they think this is a good idea. Blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you what I think it is. I think it's a smokescreen. I think it's just like the whole thing going back to what I said with inevitability. You know what the Overton window is? Have you ever heard of that? It's a new... I don't know how new it is, but it's something that's new to me in the past little while. The Overton window is the range of things that are thought to be publicly acceptable. So when you move the Overton window, you do it very gradually, very incrementally. And I guess it's kind of like the Overton window. Think about smoking. Like you used to be able to smoke in restaurants and smoke on airplanes and things like that, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And now here we are in 2019, and of course that's crazy. Like everybody's like, "Well, are you kidding me?" Like if you said somebody could smoke sitting at a table in a restaurant right next to you, you'd be like, "Get the hell out of here!" And I'm like I said, 39. I'm old enough to remember smoking sections. Like, "Oh, do you want the smoking or the non-smoking section?" "Oh, I'll take the non-smoking section." I remember that. And most of you probably do too, unless you're pretty young. But again, at the time, that was in the Overton window. That was a normally accepted thing. We'll just have the smokers have their own section, and then we'll have another place for the non-smokers. And now, of course, that's crazy. Like, the idea of smoking in a restaurant indoors at all, I mean, nobody would ever stand for that, or most people wouldn't stand for that. And that's what we have now. Our Overton window now, smoking indoors in a public place, for the most part, ain't in it. Same thing. The whole 16 for 18 thing, I think, was just a way for people to, instead of saying 18 games is bad, it's to get them to say, oh, that's not the way you do an 18-game schedule. I have a better idea for an 18-game. If they're going to do 18 games, here's how you should do it. That's what they're doing, in my opinion. And it's, I mean, if it wasn't so diabolical, I'd say it was genius. But it's, again, just moving the Overton window. Get people talking about something that they didn't used to think was a thing. And even if they're talking about how that's not the way to do it, they're talking about doing it, and now you can move the discussion. Okay, well then, if we're not going to do it this way, maybe here's what we should do. Again, it's all just planting that seed in your mind about how something is going to happen, so let's do it the best way we can. And if you're smart, you got to say, no, we're not going that. I'm saying no to 18 games, not no to doing it this way, but here's a better way. No, like no. And the Players Association, it's going to be up to them to say no. Because, again, they're going to dangle all these things like the added money, like 16 for 18 or whatever, 18 for 16, whatever you want to call it, and other concessions. They'll make, you know, they'll expand rosters. They're going to do all those things. And they'll try to make it seem like, oh, this makes sense. Like, this is a thing we should be talking about. No. Like, don't do 18 games. Don't do it. And I fear that me saying that isn't enough. It turns out I've been unable to affect wide social change by just bitching into a microphone in my kitchen in the past. But I'm going to try and do it again anyway. And hopefully you will too. No. And no to uniform ads too, goddammit, while we're at it. No to you. And you know what? Here's what's going to happen. Baseball's going to do it. And then the NFL's going to say, oh, well, you know, it was inevitable. And then they're going to do it too. They're going to let it play out. It already happened in the NBA. Now they're going to try it in the MLB, and then we're going to have NASCAR drivers with these stupid patches and, you know, the Bucs uniform as it is right now, you couldn't really make look worse, so I'm not worried about that. But when the Bucs do eventually get better, nicer uniforms, they'll probably have some stupid, and I'll say this right now, preemptively, okay, even though it's not even happening for years and years and years, I will immediately pull all support from any company that puts their logo on my team's uniform. All right. Maybe I should do it for any team. But if you put your logo on the Rays uniform or on the Bucks uniform, not only will I no longer patronize that company, but I will make it my mission to take that company down. I will use every platform I can think of. Because that's why they do it. They do it because they think it's worth paying money to have their name out there. You got to penalize them for that. So anyway, the 16-game, 18-game thing's not happening anytime soon, but news on it could be happening soon because, again, they're working on this collective bargaining agreement right now, and these are the things that they're talking about. And, you know, it could be, hey, we signed a new agreement. Oh, by the way, in 2022, we're going to have 18 games and two preseason games. And I already told you, here's what if they want to make money and yet keep what they have, and I don't think they want to, but if they wanted to make more money, I could give them away to, and I said three shows ago, just add a bye week, or even two if you want, whatever. You know, however many weeks of a regular season you want for your TV deal, just add bye weeks into that and keep it at 16. Then you can still space the same number of games out over a longer time. And then you're getting more money from TV. Because what happens now? So many games go unwatched, right? Because there's 16 games on this week or, you know, 14 games on that week. And no matter how many games there are in any given week, you still get, you know, one national TV Sunday afternoon, one national TV Sunday night, one national TV Monday night, and of course the Thursday night. So if there's a week with 10 NFL games instead of 16, you'd still have all those games on TV. There'd just be fewer games that you never saw anyway because they weren't on in your local market where the Bucks were playing at one, then you get the Dolphins game on the other channel and that was all you got. You know, that's how they do it, right? So you're missing all these other games. So spread it out longer. And then you still have 256 regular season NFL games. Each team still plays 16, only now few of them are getting lost to the electrons when they're not on TV here in Tampa. And you can put, you know, two more weeks onto the season, just add a couple more bye weeks. Then players get more time to rest. You get more weeks of games for your TV contracts. You're adding on 2 weeks. And you don't change the scarcity of football. You still have the same number of games. I think that's the way to go. If I was an owner who was not just constantly thinking about how to find more money under every crack and crevice of humanity I could possibly find it in, then I'd probably say to my fellow owners, hey, let's do that. We'll make more money and we'll still preserve the integrity of what we have, which I think is really well set up right now. As it is set up in the current way, we're salivating, aren't we? Aren't you salivating for that preseason game against the Steelers? And I know you think, oh, Bobby, preseason sucks, and it does suck, okay? But this Friday night, tonight, you know what I'm doing? Not a damn thing. Nothing, okay? What am I doing 3 Fridays from now? I'm watching the Bucks-Steelers, baby, and you are too. And that, even though it's a preseason game, beats whatever the hell I come up with this Friday night by a long shot. A horrible, just no good, terribly played, sloppy, meaningless preseason game on its worst day is better than no football at all. Well, guess what, folks? We only have no football at all for another few weeks. And then every single, I'll do the tweet like I do every year, because there's going to be coming a weekend soon when the Hall of Fame game happens. What is that? Is that next week or the week? I think that might be the week after next. So we got 3 weeks till the first NFL game with the Bucks, but we have 2 weeks till the Hall of Fame game. And when that weekend comes and goes, okay, there will be football of some kind every single weekend up until February of 2020. Think about that, okay? I want you to really think about that because that's where we're at right now. We're on the cusp of it. As it is, next week is when we'll be camping again. Before I end the show today, this is our final show of the offseason. I always like to mark the endings of things, even if they're things we didn't really like that much to begin with, it's still the passage of time. This is the end of the offseason. I want to thank all of you for joining me in the offseason and sticking with me, even through the family vacations and all that stuff. You know, we're going to have a lot different mindset. We're going to have a lot different feelings. We're going to have a lot different types of action starting next week, all the way through, again, what I hope is into January and beyond for this Bucks team, but at the very least, all the way through the end of the year 2019. And it's been fun. It was great. We all did our things over the summer. Finish up your chores, like I told you last week. you know, if you need to do some drywall work or if you need to do any household chores or anything that's on your list that, you know, you've been wanting to do, get your affairs in order now because things are about to change for the better. I want to thank the Joes, okay, for always for getting this show on this website, joebucksfan.com, allowing me the platform to get in front of all of you. Thanks for your tweets and your emails, Chris and St. Pete. Anybody wants to tweet or email me, at Bobby Game Day on Twitter. The email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Thanks to our friends at Bill Curry Ford. As always, go check them out at the website, billcurryford.com, or a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway if you want to go to the lot itself. And thanks to all of you. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the final free stretch of the offseason. Next week, camp edition. And we'll have everything, I mean everything that happens. If a guy stubs his toe, you're going to know about it. JoeBucksFan.com is the place on the internet to check all that out. So have a great final week of the offseason. Be safe, have fun, take care of all your affairs, and have a great weekend. In the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks!